Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you so much that it pleases you to show things of yourself to we humans. Thank you that your desire is for us to draw near to you and to be shown who you are and your wonders. Be with us. Let there be clarity. Let there be listening ears, and let there be hopefully not a stammering tongue. So I ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Today I'll be talking about Daniel, title Walking with God. So there's the title. If you get nothing, just use this as incentive to reread the book of Daniel, because it's a wonderful story. I had two verses I wanted to start with. It's okay, I can see them. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then jumping to Genesis, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I think we're good tonight. Yeah, maybe the back one. You know, Daniel is one of my favorite biblical figures, actually. You know, because I think he did a concept that is really valuable to we believers, which is he walked with God. Now, a lot of us know by default that walking with God is something that we're supposed to be doing, but it's one of those things where the definition is a little bit funky. Can I hear some definitions, some attempts? Just to chime in, going to start over here. What's a definition of that off the top of your head?
Praying,
okay. This section, what's a possible definition of walking with God?
Obeying,
cool. This section, help me out.
Being in his presence,
fantastic. Thank you. This section.
Trusted.
There were two, hang on.
You first.
I said trust.
Trusting.
Listening,
cool. Very good stuff. But, however, that's a lot of range of definitions for something that all of us are supposed to be doing, wouldn't you say? Because the story of Enoch, the Enoch story is a good example for it, but I was a little bit slow to do that because we don't have a lot of details. He was born, had a father, had a kid, got Jesus after having a kid, as I hear a lot of parents do, and then walked with God and then vanished. Poof. Kind of a hard example to follow. So I thought we'd use our brother Daniel because his story is one of the more complete examples of what walking with God actually means, because we have a whole lot of his story. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's kind of an ending, not really, but there's something of an ending, but there's something we can follow. So I wanted to give you a couple examples of what walking with God doesn't mean. Let me drop everything and become homeless. I think it's a safe bet to assume that Daniel was walking with God and he was the prime minister of like three different governments, so not valid. I need to always be fearless and know what to do. Daniel has more verses dedicated to him being terrified than there are talking about Melchizedek, interestingly enough. I need to be totally perfect and never make mistakes. No. I'm gonna stop you right there. No, that's not what walking with God means. That's not what this is. So, what does walking with God mean? Now, the Lord has an order about him. He has a way. He has a progress. That's who he is. He doesn't do things aimlessly. He's not random. So I wanted to put a picture of what I think the map walking with the Lord looks like. Now we're ready for that slide. Behold. Now, that may look like a jumbled mess, but does anyone know kind of what this is?
No.
Thank you. That's a wonderful example. So let me tell you something about what? Oh, he said it's a delta. Now, what I love about this walk with the Lord is it's very kind of broad, because we as people are incredibly broad beings. We have a spirit, we have a soul, we have a body, and the Lord wants us to walk with him in all these little different ways. You remember there was a variety of definitions. Those are all areas where the Lord wants to walk with us. but he does it sort of scattered here and there and everywhere in different little streams. But let me tell you something about streams. They always flow towards a river. So in my mind, my definition, because I'm the person who's speaking. Put simply, it means you have found the Lord in some area of your life and are walking in the truth that you have found, no matter how small. Let me try that again. It means you have found the Lord in some area of your life and you are walking in the truth that you have found, no matter how small. Now, right now, I don't know where y'all are, but some of you, maybe it's been a little while, you're in a bit of a dry spot. You're like, Lord, I don't look like that. I look like you know, a parking lot in the middle of July. There's no water here. There's no moisture here. There's no, how am I supposed to find where you are? But let me remind you of the story of the woman at the well. This lady went out to the well in the middle of the day because she was thirsty, and we're all thirsty because we all thirst for God. But the Lord met her precisely where she was. She knew she was thirsty. She didn't necessarily know where to go, and the Lord said, if you take this living water, there will be a stream bubbling up to eternal life. So if there's that willingness, that thing of be like, Lord, I'm dry, but I'm trying to find you, the Lord will find you in some little area. But remember, I'm going to repeat this definition one more time. It means you have found the Lord in some area of your life and are walking in the truth that you have found, no matter how small. So, definitions aside, I want to talk about a couple of the streams that Daniel found leading to this river of life. Number one. Sorry, skip over to the next one. I'm sorry. I added that in my outline and I didn't add it in the spreadsheet. Terrible. Number one, Daniel kept his heart clean. So the Lord, somewhere in his mind, got across to Daniel that maybe I shouldn't be eating the king's food. I'm sure you know the story. Daniel gets picked up from where he is originally from, gets dropped in an enemy country, gets enrolled in school, which is frankly evil. And then the king says, here's a bunch of special food for you. And somewhere deep down in his heart, something about that doesn't kind of resonate well with Daniel. So Daniel says, you know, I don't think so. I'm going to try it. Well, the verse actually says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And a lot of the times it starts with something as simple as that. There can be a little pool somewhere in your life where you feel a little bit of misgiving. Now, this can be an example of maybe you're watching a show and in the back of your mind you're like, I don't like that. Or maybe you're having a conversation and you feel it kind of veering towards a gossipy direction. You're like, I don't like that either. It's just different areas where the Lord's trying to have there be a touchstone of here's a little bit of living water in the place of something that's worldly. Now, practically, that's a little bit hard to tell because our consciences are really confusing. There's a lot of stuff that I'm fine with that, say, Ryan's not necessarily fine with. And there's a lot of things that Stuart's fine with that I'm not necessarily fine with. So something I found with the Lord is your room clean? You know, a lot of the times, I want to credit my friend Joey because he gave me this quote. A lot of the times you can tell the condition of someone by the condition of their room. So if you're looking around in your life, this is a metaphor, I'm not metaphor. But if you're looking around, it's just like, are the sheets in? Is the closet closed? Is all the laundry in the basket? Sometimes they're like little tells. If something's wrong, if you're maybe watching something you shouldn't or talking about something you shouldn't, there's always a tell. It's just like, wait a second, all of a sudden I don't have any peace and I'm not able to enter into worship times. What's going on? It's just being mindful of, is this clean? Now, another example, beyond just a simple, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Daniel was the sort of guy, when people were looking for things to accuse him of, if you'll read Daniel 6, chapter 4, you don't have to turn to it because I wrote it down here, haha. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel regarding government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption because he was trustworthy and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Believe it or not, the Lord cares a whole lot about how we look to the world. And again, this could be one of those streams of life where it seems kind of silly, where it's just like, Lord, why do I have to make sure everything is filed correctly? Why do I have to make sure that I didn't park illegally? Why do I have to do this? Because people will see their life and will see that you're trying to honor the Lord, and then they can turn that into a stream for them. It can be another drop of water where they're like, oh, there's something there, and it's leading towards something. And it's never for nothing, trying to have a walk that's pleasing to the Lord. And honestly, the Lord has different areas that he's trying to put his finger on with that. But it's well worth asking the Lord about. David asked the Lord to search him and try him, and it's worth doing. Number two, Daniel was a Bible nerd. You may not think so. A lot of the times we read about the story of Daniel, and we hear these stories about Daniel was going to get thrown into a lion's den, and he didn't, you know, give up, and the king went to him with this dream, and there was, the stakes were so high, and Daniel didn't give up or whatever, and you think, I don't look at all like that. What's going on? I'm a failure. What's going on? But let me remind you that reading the Bible is one of those things that can bring us to the Lord, because a lot of the times reading the word is seized. You know, sometimes we think, oh, how do I get through? I pray, you know, Lord, who do you want me to marry? You want me to marry Sharon? Great. Do you want me to go to school? You want me to be a missionary in Cuba? Great. That's not generally how it works. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. It's your life. But I want to remind you that a lot of the times when we read these little Bible stories, it always seems like it's for nothing. Sometimes you're a parent and you're reading the Bible to your kids and you're like, why am I doing this? This is a waste of time. Or you're reading like a little storybook Bible and you're like, this is kind of light. Why would I want to read it? But here's kind of food for thought. When the king demanded for Daniel to tell him what his dream was, don't you think it's interesting that Joseph was told something similar? And don't you think it's interesting how all those thousands of years ago recorded in the book of Genesis that he had been asked the exact same thing? And don't you think that Daniel, perhaps remembered that, and that was an encouragement to him during that time? And further on, with Daniel in the lion's den, don't you think it's interesting how David talked very specifically, saying, then David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion. You know, a lot of the times we proceed in all this fear and apprehension because we aren't rooted in the word. You know, there's a word for every situation that we ever go through, really. One of my favorite songs in the hymnal is, what more can he say than to you he hath said? You know, the Lord is trying to get through to us and trying to guide us through. And sometimes I think when we're wandering around in this desert, we find ourselves in the face of all these situations that we don't know how to overcome because we don't know the word. So just very practically, if you are a believer and you're kind of struggling along, a good exercising towards the stream is trying to remember and to seek out the word in and out of season. That just means be ready whether it's relevant or not. So I remember one time I was waiting for my dad on a Sunday morning. We were going to drive to the brothers' prayer meeting because we're so spiritual. And I was parked outside my house, and in true non-spiritual form, it was taking a second, and I was like, we don't have time for this. We got to go. I don't want to, you know, our group was on because, you know, of course it was. And I took a second and I read my Bible just kind of arbitrarily, where it's just like, that seems like a good thing to do. I'm gonna do this instead of freaking out at my parent who raised me. You know, I read this verse and it touched my heart. And unexpectedly, I had to share something a little bit later that day. And I think that's the hardest I've ever cried during a sharing time because I can't take credit for it. It's not one of those things where I'm like, I'm so spiritual, I did this and it was here. It's just, you take a minute, you read the word when you have a second, and the Lord brings it around. And in a similar way with Bible stories, whenever you're stuck, you know, listening to Bible stories or you have to talk about it with children, it seems like it's not valuable, but a lot of the times you're going to hear stories of, you know, Jonah being cast into the sea and being eaten by a whale, and you think, what does this have to do with anything? And then you're at work. and you're overwhelmed, and it's crazy, and you feel like everyone's turning against you, but you can remember, wait a second, the Lord is the one who made the storm, the Lord is the one who directed the fish, and the Lord's the one who's going to spit me out and going to, you know, see that I continue living to serve him. So I wanted to include a principle of always be gathering. It always ends up being useful. The word is always valuable. It's always useful. And it's a way to keep us close to where the Lord is. Moving on from there, Daniel was a prayer. You know, we kind of, have a lot of Daniel's big experiences sort of in a big rush thing. Daniel had to interpret a dream, and then Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, and then Daniel had a bunch of really weird dreams, and then that was the end of the story. But there are three different types of prayer that I think Daniel learned about that I think the Lord is very pleased with. Number one, Daniel was not afraid to ask for help. Throughout the story, Daniel's put in a bunch of situations where he doesn't know what to do, and it's scary, and it's life or death. And he asks the Lord. And it sounds obvious, but a lot of the time, it's not our natural inclination to go to the Lord when we need help. I mean, how often do we ask the Lord for help when our computer's taking a second to load? Or when the elevator's taking a second to open? Or when we're trying to park? Or when we're trying to merge lanes? It's not natural to us. And you might say, well, don't be ridiculous. How? That's absurd. But let me ask you, any potty mouths here? Don't raise your hand. Are there any potty mouths here, recovering potty mouths? People who struggle with some coarse language, you know who you are. I present to you that the Lord wants to have, well, for those of you who aren't in the know, because you're better people than I am, sometimes anything happens and you say a bad word. You know, you accelerate a little bit too fast, bad word. You pull out into traffic, bad word. You're frightened merging, bad word. I present to you that that's sometimes how we can pray. It's one of those things where it has to be knee-jerk. It's just like, Lord, 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 Lord. And it's practice. Again, this sounds so spiritual, but it's a simple thing of practicing, because a lot of the times we don't know that the Lord is trying to have an influence on our life because we don't ask him. A lot of the times, like, we're in these situations where we're about to be thrown into a lion's den, and we're like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know if you can get me out of this. I don't know. But if we're praying with the Lord about the little things, as things go, we see all the times that he's been faithful. We see all the different occurrences where he's come and just come through for us. And it's one of those things where if you see it, it's this beautiful stream of, I asked him for help with this, and then I brought it up with this, and I encountered him with this. And then there was this bigger stream where I found that he was truly, truly faithful in this big area. And it just goes and it goes and it goes, and it takes you right to the heart of where the Lord is. Number two, Daniel started praying about what the Lord cared about. It sounds kind of funny because I know a lot of people, precious saints, who are a little bit reluctant to pray about themselves, and some people who are a little bit reluctant to pray about big things because they're like, well, Lord, I don't know how to weigh in with this. I don't know if I have any helpful input. It seems Brother Kenny is praying about this real, real good, so I might leave it up to him, and, you know. But the Lord wants to draw us in to being on his page. And you may think that I'm kind of pinching at straws here, but the Lord, somehow Daniel found out that the 70 years were over. And he started praying for the nation of Israel to start coming back to them. And he started praying, and he started humbling himself. And there was this beautiful story not that long afterwards of it was put on the king's heart, and the king sent all the Jews back. Now, I don't know if Daniel was an especially nationalistic guy, but this isn't a prayer that came from him. This was a prayer that came from God. And a lot of the times, it's this thing of you discover further along in this stream of trying to draw close to God that it stops being about all your little needs necessarily, although he does want you to honor him with he wants you to honor him by asking him for things, but it starts to come to be about, like, Lord, what do you want? What are you doing? What's going on? And again, it's this stream where it went from, him praying to not get in trouble when he was just eating vegetables, to him not getting eaten by lions, to, Lord, reunite your people back to where they are. And this is about you, and this is about your glory, and I humble myself and have your way. It's a beautiful picture. And again, it's one of those things where it just builds. And honestly, you won't know unless you start trying. Number three, Daniel prayed for his people. Again, it's one of those things where it sounds completely obvious, but it's not so intuitive sometimes. Sometimes we start praying and we're like, oh, Lord, help today to go real good, thanks, you know. But there's something that Paul mentioned, praying for people by name. It's taking people up and it's being like, Lord, please be with so-and-so, and please guide poor so-and-so, and please... And sometimes we're like, oh, well, I'm being a little bit repetitive, and I don't want to bother the Lord, but, like, it's pleasing to the Lord when we do that. And also, in 1 Samuel, Samuel told Saul, Samuel told against the entire nation of Israel, I will not start sinning against the Lord by stopping praying for you. It's one of those things where an easy stream to get to where the Lord is in the morning, just being like, Lord, today I really want to pray for, I don't want to call any of you out, this is weird. I really want to pray for brother so-and-so, and I really want to pray for sister so-and-so. Even if you only pray for two people for 30 seconds twice during your day, that's so pleasing to the Lord because it's so close to where his heart is. It's a stream that'll take you right to him. And just practically, can you imagine what would happen if everyone here started praying for two people and everyone here was getting prayed for twice a day, every day? I'm completely sold on it because, you know, last summer we were getting ready for the Richmond Christian Conference. Richmond Christian Conference. I don't think that's what that's called. Christian Family Conference. You'll forgive me for not knowing, hopefully. We were starting to get ready, and I was like, Lord, I want to try to get ready, because I had some responsibility. I'm like, I want to try to get ready. I want to try to serve. I want to try to be in a good place with you. So, Lord, you know, kind of help me get through here. And it was like I was skating on ice afterwards. I don't know how to describe it. It's not prosperity gospel. It's just for a week, like, everything was straightforward. Everything got resolved. Everything was able to be addressed. I was kept in good health. And, you know, it got to the end, and I was like, you know, that was really cool. I guess good on me for wanting that, I guess. But then I realized about a year later that I was like, oh, like 1,000 people were praying for the Richmond Conference. 1,000 people were praying, and because I was trying to vaguely align myself with that, I got to make good on 1,000 different people praying. It was incredible. So don't underestimate the power of your prayer, because a lot of the times, so many brothers and sisters are under so much stress. You know, there's this tragic picture showed to me by my father of, like, you know, horses, graceful, beautiful creatures. You look at the horse, I'm like, what can I give to the horse? I don't have anything to offer the horse. What? But if you go around, you know, the poor things are being stung by bees and horse flies all during the day, and there's nothing they can do. And sometimes, as believers, we can pray, and we can go after some of those yellow jackets with a fly swatter. Don't underestimate the beauty and the power in that. It's so simple. Like I say, just praying for two people in the morning. You have no idea the comfort you can bring to people, whether they know it or not. So you have an assignment, write down two people. I'm not going to proceed until you all write down two people. In your mind or electronically, you have an assignment. I want all green lights tomorrow. That'll be my sign. And now, quite finally, where is this all going? It led to Jesus. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Who told him that? You know, it's this thing where you were walking, and you're trying to walk in all the light that you currently have, even if you're reading two verses every day, even if you're praying for, like, one person, the Lord will take you down the stream, and he'll take you down the stream, and it'll be like, here's me in a way that very few people have ever seen. And a lot of the times we think that, oh, this came out of nowhere. Daniel was just living his life, and then all of a sudden, like, hey, here's an excellent secret. I have a father, and I am pleasing to my father, and I am being presented before my father and being seen as worthy. To us, that's not anything new, but to Daniel, I don't know if this was something that had been shown to anyone before. And again, it's just the result of walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. So, again, in your life, it just leads to more and more Jesus. Again, the closer you get to the source, sometimes the more water there is. And you just keep walking and walking and walking. And then you find him. Hallelujah, I have found him, whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. If I could trouble you to go back to the question at the beginning that I thought I moved but didn't. So here's the question. Take this as you will. I'm not here to guilt trip you because I'm a cripple and can't run away if you get upset. Am I walking with God or am I being walked by God? I had a picture of like two people walking side by side and then another picture of a person with a kid like on a leash and the kid was like running. But I thought it kind of undercut what I was trying to say. A lot of the times, it's a progression and we're getting closer and closer to Jesus. That's the whole point. We're in the water and it's so good and it's so beautiful and it's being drawn close to where the Lord is. But sometimes, we end up being like the nation of Israel and we just kind of, well, I'm here. I'm saved. I'm standing on the foundation of the gospel. And everything around you is as dry as, you know, this table now. You know, it's one of those things where sometimes in our minds, we think we can procrastinate this, but like, hopefully as I've been presenting over the last couple minutes, why would you want to? You know, like, we all need water to survive. There's no surviving without water. And it's one of those things where if you are walking with the Lord, you have the water, and you're being moved towards Christ. It's the classic case of you can have your cake and eat it, too. So whether you're in the middle of a desert or whether you're just trudging along, I just want to encourage you. Try to find Jesus at the well. He's not going to judge you. He's not going to be like, well, I know your secret. He's going to be like, here is a little bit of water and follow it and see where it goes. But just to close, I had a final verse at the end of this, just for those of you who are already doing all of this. I don't want to make anyone neurotic. This is the last verse of the book of Daniel. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. I just want to encourage you, those of you who are already going, keep going. Don't stop. It's hard. There are lions. There are people out to get you, maybe, but don't stop. Keep going the way that he's shown you because you will be able to enter into rest. And going back to the verse at the start, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, walking and resting sound like contradictory terms. There's no way to have peace on this world unless you're walking. No way. Zero chance. But if you're with him, then you'll continue walking, and someday you'll be with him, and you'll have that closeness that you came because you tried to get closer and closer to the source, which is, of course, just Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for opening up these streams of water. Thank you so much that you intend absolutely for us to have our cake and eat it too, because we keep discovering you and experiencing you, but keep possessing you and keep drawing closer to where you are. Strengthen the legs that are weak. I pray you'd give courage to those who are troubled. I pray you would just draw us so close to where you are, because nothing compares to you, Lord. There's nothing like finding you or being in your presence. I pray this in your name. Amen.